Off the ball.
Rugby.
Did he need minutes?
No. Come back. Played the last two games. Played a long shift from Bayern. He did not need minutes too. And this is not being wise after the event. I didn't want to tempt fate when the team was landed on Friday. I saw it in the preview. And then I remember looking at the first couple of... Why is he at the bloody all-weather pitches? Part of me hates them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll hear from Celtic boss Martin O'Neill after his side booked their place in the playoff round of the Europa League. Arne Slot gives an injury update on Jeremy Frimpong. It looks like the season could be over for Jack Grealish, and could a Brazilian superstar have ended up at Rangers? But first, two events in Europe last night, and Celtic secured a place in the knockout playoff phase of the Europa League with a 4-2 win at home to Utrecht. Boss Martin O'Neill says their effort has paid off.
You'd have got long odds about us qualifying after about four games or something like this here, but great credit to the players, genuinely great credit to them. They worked tirelessly, and they have done.
Celtic's reward for that win is a tie with Stuttgart in the playoff round, so Martin O'Neill won't go up against Robbie Keane and his Ferencváros side. Ferencváros will play Bulgarian outfield Ludo Goretz. Ferencváros were beaten 4-0 by Nottingham Forest at the City Ground last night. Forest will play Fenerbahce in the playoff round next month. And Forest boss Sean Dyche was pleased with many elements of last night's performance.
Tonight was, I think, a reminder there's quality here. And that teamship, that's important. You know, Maka gets his goal. The first one over to celebrate was Morgan. So that shows the teamship, the connection in the group. And that's important when we've got so many games. And I like that aspect to it. Not just some of the quality moments, but that feel of the group.
Aston Villa produced a thrilling comeback from two goals down to win 3-2 at home to RB Salzburg. Villa were already into the last 16. The only downside was an injury to Ollie Watkins in the first half. Boss Unai Emery is pleased with their second place finish in the league phase.
We are in the top eight. We are as well second, and we are going to have some advantage playing the second leg at home. And this competition is of course is very important for us. The priority is the Premier League, but the second objective we have clearly is Europa League.
Newcastle have been drawn against Karabag in the playoff round of the Champions League. The second leg of that tie will be held at St James's Park. Real Madrid have been paired with Jose Mourinho's Benfica, who beat Real 4-2 on Wednesday night to take the last place in the playoff round and goal difference. Holders PSG will face fellow French side Monaco. Bodo/Glimt have been paired with last season's beaten finalist Inter. Now, Newcastle boss Eddie Howe hasn't ruled out captain Bruno Guimaraes for tomorrow night's game against Liverpool. The Brazilian missed last weekend's defeat to Aston Villa due to an ankle injury. He was an unused sub in Paris for their draw with PSG on Wednesday night. Howe is hoping Guimaraes can play at Anfield.
I'd say he did really well to be with us in Paris. And I think that's more down to the fact that he was desperate to be there and support the players. He trained with us yesterday, but that was more of a test. So look, let's see how he is today. This will be the day that really where we decide.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot says Jeremy Frimpong's groin injury isn't as bad as first feared, but he'll still be out for a few weeks. Meanwhile, Ibrahima Konate will return for the Newcastle game tomorrow after he missed recent matches due to the death of his father. Slot's hoping to build on their 6-0 win over Karabag on Wednesday night.
We are fully aware of the fact that one win isn't enough at this club. So the next one is coming fast with Newcastle. And I think that's I'm 100% sure that game is a bigger challenge than the one we faced Wednesday.
This Monday sees the first episode of Richie McCormack's new Off the Ball original football podcast series, Sliding Doors, a 6-part series telling the stories of the most bizarre football transfers that looked set to happen but didn't. The first episode focuses on Ronaldo's proposed switch from Barcelona to Rangers, and on last night's football show, Richie joined Will O'Callaghan to explain the thinking behind Rangers' ploy to nab one of the world's greatest ever players.
The best player in the world only having to play in the Champions League, like being rolled out as one of Mr. Burns's, you know, ringers in the softball episode of The Simpsons. It's like, oh, we've got Borussia Dortmund at home, have we? Marco Negri, you can go back indoors. Wheel out Ronaldo.
Here's our new cleaner,
yeah,
Ronaldo.
Like, fantastic. Yeah, but the one we have that's the thing that starts off the series is Ronaldo, 90s Ronaldo, the good Ronaldo, almost signing for Rangers. Now, I kind of put this down to, yeah, right, whatever. And there's a lot of these stories you kind of initially do. This series obviously goes to those particular potential transfers that went beyond that little, ah yeah, right, whatever. These are transfers that almost happened. So you cast your mind back to, I think it was the summer of 1997, Ronaldo has become disenfranchised with life at Barcelona after just 1 year because certain promises were made to him. Those promises aren't going to be met. There's going to be changes in management, et cetera, et cetera. So he gets a bit antsy and is looking around. Now, his agents are casting around Europe, and at the time, the big money was still being spent in Italy. So obviously, a lot of the big Italian teams, and if you go back through old episodes of Gazzetta on YouTube, which I'm prone to do, you'll find about half a dozen Serie A sides of the time that were interested in signing Ronaldo. The one that jumped out at me, and it's one that he revealed afterwards, and I was like, yeah, right, whatever. But I went and did a bit of digging, went into the newspaper archives and all of this, and there was a very real element of truth to Rangers' interest in signing Ronaldo in the summer of 1997. Now, if you look at the modern-day Rangers, you kind of think, oh, there's no way they could financially compete.
They were double contracting at the time, weren't they?
They had an obscene amount of talent within their squad. So I think that summer, the likes of Jörg Alberts came on board, but they'd already signed, obviously, Paul Gascoigne, Brian Laudrup. Mm. They had a really, really good squad. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done in Europe, which is why the Ronaldo story came to the fore, and which is why Dave Murray, who was the chairman at the time, had the phenomenal idea of potentially signing Ronaldo, offering him the moon, the stars and everything that is above Glasgow, and saying that he wouldn't even have to play in the Scottish Premiership of a Saturday.
Just the European games.
They would be maintaining Ronaldo purely for European games, and this is 100% verifiable that this was something that had been proposed.
If you want to hear episode 1 of Sliding Doors, you can do so this Monday in your OTB football podcast feed for free. Everton boss David Moyes says Jack Grealish will probably need surgery on a foot fracture, which would rule him out for the rest of the season. The England international has been on loan from Manchester City this season. Moyes says it's a tough one to take.
Really disappointing for the player, but as for the club and for all of us here, because he's such an important part. He's a big character, big experience for us, and we'll miss him. He's done a lot of really good things for us.
Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says he's begging the Premier League to follow the Champions League in increasing the size of matchday squads. Midfielder Christian Norgaard is one of the players struggling to be involved regularly in the domestic league, and Arteta says he has to leave two or three players out every match.
I cannot change that. These are the rules. Hopefully the Premier League next season, instead of 18 outfield players, he will do 20, because it's much better to manage the squad, to maintain the value of the players, to maintain the mental health of the player, because nobody wants to get out of the squad.
Brighton boss Fabian Hertzler has no intention of losing midfielder Yassin Ayari before Monday's transfer deadline. The club rejected a £20 million bid from Nottingham Forest for the Sweden international yesterday. Hertzler expects him to stay.
I'm not taking part in these kind of speculations, so I really enjoy working with Yassin, and he really enjoys working with us. I think he made a great development so far, and he's a bright player.
West Ham boss Nuno Espirito Santo says new signing Adama Traore can make a real difference in their fight against relegation. The winger has been reunited with his former Wolves manager after completing a move from Fulham. Traore is expected to make his debut when West Ham take on Chelsea tomorrow.
I know him very well. I worked with him many, many years, and I know him. That's why I said that he's unique. There are not many players with his ability on 1v1 situations. There are not many players with his speed, with his pace, and I think he's going to give us many, many things that we need.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke says the club knows exactly what he thinks they need to do in the January transfer window. The Premier League strugglers have reportedly been interested in a move for Wolves striker Jorgen Strand Larsen, but Farke says it doesn't make sense to say publicly where they need to strengthen.
If I would tell you right now we need another number 8, for example, use this example because we don't need a number 8, but if I mention this, then also a potential club where we are in negotiations also knows this, and it means the price goes up.
Burnley manager Scott Parker says he's thrilled to bring in James Ward-Prowse. The midfielder arrives on loan from West Ham until the end of the season. Parker believes Ward-Prowse's experience and leadership will be crucial in their fight for survival.
We've seen James played in numerous games in the Premier League, brings a know-how and has been at the level professional-wise as well in terms of what he represents and what he stands for. I think he'd be a very good addition for us, really. So we're pleased with that signing.
One player who Owen Elding won't be lining up alongside at Hibs is Kieran Bowie. Elding confirmed his move from Sligo on Thursday, but Hibs starting centre forward looks set for a move. The Scottish international hopes a strong end to the season in Serie A will secure him a place in the Scotland squad for the World Cup. He's flying to Italy for a medical with Verona ahead of completing the move. Bowie says it's a tactical decision to follow many other Scots to play in Italy's top flight.
It's a top league, isn't it? And everyone wants to do as best they can. And yeah, I mean, obviously the World Cup coming up. I've spoken about that a lot over the last couple of months, and that's the idea.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
Introducing a new off-the-ball football podcast original. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors. These are the stories of those big money deals that just didn't quite happen.
Ronaldo. He's made space for himself. Ronaldo shot. Pick that out. What a hat trick.
Episode 1 of this podcast series focuses on Ronaldo and a move to Glasgow Rangers. Subscribe now in your OTB Football podcast feed to not miss an episode of this 6-part series coming to you live each and every Monday.